The glories of the Gita. 1. This Bhagavad Gita scripture is the bestower of all good. One who regularly studies it with devotion will attain to the holy abode of Lord Vishnu, the plane of freedom from all distress, fear, and sorrow. 2. For a self-controlled person who seriously studies this Bhagavad Gita scripture, not a trace of sin from this life or even from the previous life remains, as all the sins of such a person are burnt to ashes. 3. As a person bathes every day to cleanse the body, similarly by bathing only once in the waters of the Bhagavad Gita, reading the Gita once with devotion, all the dirt of painful material existence is washed away. 4. The Gita should always be sung with devotion. This divine song emanated from the holy lotus mouth of the Supreme Lord Himself, Lord Sri Krishna. What more can any other scriptures give? 5. By drinking the Ganges waters of the Gita, by singing the Gita with devotion, the nectar of the Mahabharat emanating from the lotus mouth of Lord Vishnu, one will never take birth in the material world again. 6. All the Upanishads are as the cow, and the milker of the cow is Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda. Arjuna is the calf, the nectar of the Gita is the milk, and the fortunate devotees are the enjoyers of the milk. 7. There need be only one scripture, the holy Gita sung by Sri Krishna, only one worshipable Lord, Sri Krishna, only one mantra, His holy names, and only one work, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. Then another section at the back of this book, entitled The Glories of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, from Sri Vaishnaviya Tantra Sara. This is made up of 85 verses. The translations are as follows. The sage said, O Suta, please tell us of the glories of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as expressed long ago at Narayan Kshetra by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva. Suta Goswami said, O Venerable One, your request is most auspicious. Indeed, who can describe the transcendental glories of Sri Gita, the most hidden of all treasures? Certainly Lord Sri Krishna is in full knowledge of those glories, and so Arjuna, the son of Kunti, knows of them, and Vyasadeva, Shukadeva, Yajnavalkya, and the saintly King Janaka too. Others too, who have heard but a little of the glories of Sri Gita, are engaged in singing them. And so I shall now speak of the glories of Sri Gita as I heard them from Vyasadeva. All the Upanishads are personified as the cow. Sri Krishna is the milker of the cow. Arjuna is the calf. The nectar of the Gita is the milk, and the fortunate devotees are the enjoyers of the milk. I first offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who accepted the position of the chariot driver of Arjuna, just to distribute this nectar of the Gita for the benefit of the three worlds. A person desiring to cross over the treacherous ocean of material suffering can do so very easily by taking refuge in the boat of the Bhagavad Gita. A foolish person who desires liberation by constant yoga practice without hearing the wisdom of the Gita is to be considered childish. Persons who day and night hear and sing the Gita are never to be taken as mere human beings. Without doubt, they are as gods in this world. To enlighten Arjuna with the wisdom of the Gita, Lord Krishna Chandra has revealed the supremacy of devotion, either in this world or in the transcendental planes. Thus, the wisdom of the Gita is a ladder of 18 chapters, ascending which one rises above sense enjoyment and liberation, bhukti-mukti, and gradually attains purification of the heart and the qualification of loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Bathing in the pure waters of the Gita, the devotees are liberated from the contamination of the mundane world. However, persons lacking faith in the Lord may attempt this, but in vain, like an elephant's bathing. The elephant immediately rolls in the dust after bathing. A person who knows nothing of learning and teaching the Gita fails in the duty of the human being. Therefore, there is none more fallen than he who is ignorant of the teachings of the Gita. Shame on his human birth, his learning, his dignity, and his entire family. There is none more fallen than he who is ignorant of the meaning of the Gita. Shame on his bodily beauty, his character, his wealth, and his home. There is none more fallen than he who is ignorant of the scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Shame on his undertakings, his reputation, his worship, his charity, and his honor. A person who does not care for the Gita scripture is to be known as a failure in all respects. Shame on his teacher, his vows, his faith, his austerity, and his renown. There is none more fallen than he who does not study the purport of the Gita, and that knowledge which is not glorified in the Gita should be known as demoniac, futile, unvirtuous, and rejected by the Vedas and the Upanishads. Therefore, the Holy Gita is universally respected as the compilation of the essence of all scriptures and the source of all wisdom. One who studies the Gita on the holy festival days of the advent of the Supreme Lord and on the holy fasting days, especially Ekadashi, such a person, whether awake or asleep, moving or still, is never defeated by enemies. One who sings the Gita before the Shalagram Shila deity, or in a temple of the Supreme Lord, or in a temple of Lord Shiva, at a holy place of pilgrimage, or on the bank of a holy river, certainly such a person attains to all good fortune. Neither the singing of the Vedas nor the performance of charity, sacrifice, pilgrimage, or vows can bring such satisfaction to Krishna, the son of Devaki, as does the singing of the Gita. The study of the Vedas and Puranas, verily the study of all the scriptures, is fulfilled in all respects by one who studies the Gita with devotion. The highest perfection of life is attained by one who sings the Gita at a place of yoga meditation, at a place of worship, before the Shalagram Shila, in the association of saintly persons, during a sacrifice, and before a devotee of Vishnu. One who daily hears and sings the Gita is to be considered as having accomplished the performance of all sacrifices, such as the Ashvamedha and others, including the receiving of the sacrificial gifts. One who attentively hears and sings the glories of the purport of the Gita, or reiterates it to others, attains to the supreme destination. One who, with respect and devotion, and according to scriptural directives, makes a gift of this holy book, the Gita, such a person's wife will be devoted. And without a doubt he shall enjoy fame, fortune, and good health. He shall enjoy the affection of those dear to him. He shall know the highest happiness. The sorrow caused by a terrible curse or black rites can never enter the home where the Gita is worshipped. In that house there is never suffering of the threefold miseries, nor fear of any illness, curse, sin, misfortune, or hellish existence. In that house no one is ever afflicted with infectious diseases, and the residents attain undeviating devotion in service to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. A person devoted to singing the Gita acquires a friendly disposition to all living beings, despite the desirable or undesirable reactions of his previous actions. He is liberated. He is happy. He is never implicated by his actions. Even if perchance that person who studies the Gita commits terrible sin, he is as unaffected as the lotus leaf that remains untouched by even a drop of water. Whether the inauspiciousness of wrong action or malevolent speech, of eating unacceptable food or touching the untouchable, or sin knowingly or unknowingly contracted through the senses in the course of daily activities, all evils are immediately dispelled by singing the Gita with devotion. One sincerely devoted to singing the Gita is never implicated despite accepting food in all places or gifts in all kinds of circumstances. One who takes unlawful possession of the entire earth full of jewels, he too will be innocent. By singing the Gita but once, his heart will be as clear as crystal. A person whose heart is ever joyfully absorbed in the Gita is to be considered fully accomplished in sacrifices, always in prayer, perfect in his actions, and truly learned. All are benefited simply by seeing him. He is glorious, he is a yogi, and he is wise. He is a knower of sacrifice, he is engaged in sacrifice, and he is a knower of the purport of all the Vedas. All the holy places in this world, such as Prayag and others, are present wherever the holy book of the Gita is present and sung constantly. For one who constantly studies the Gita, the demigods, sages and yogis all preside as guardians in the body, even at the time of death. Wherever the Gita is sung, the gracious cowherd boy Sri Krishna swiftly appears as a friend, accompanied by his associates Narad, Dhruva and others. Wherever the Gita scripture is discussed, studied and taught, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna comes with great joy, accompanied by Srimati Radharani. The Supreme Lord said, "O Pata, the Gita is my heart. The Gita is my supreme essence, and the Gita is the most powerful, imperishable knowledge of me. The Gita is my supreme place. The Gita is my supreme plane. The Gita is my most hidden treasure. The Gita is my supreme teacher. I am present within the Gita, and the Gita is my supreme abode. I maintain the three worlds by the eternal wisdom of the Gita. The Gita is my transcendental wisdom, my own self, conveyed by every letter and comprised of eternally ineffable verses. O Pandava, I shall tell you the holy names of the Gita. By singing these names, one is immediately absolved of all sins. Hear now those confidential names from me. Ganga, Gita, Savitri, Sita, Satya, Pativrata, Brahmavali, Brahmavidya, Trisandhya, Mukta Gehini, Adamatra, Chidananda, Bhavagni, Bhranti Nashini, Vedatrayi, Parananda, and Tatvata Jnana Mandari. One who, with unflickering mind, regularly chants these confidential holy names, achieves perfection in divine knowledge, and finally reaches the supreme destination. If one is unable to sing the entire Gita, half of it should be sung. Then without doubt the piety gained by making a gift of cows will be attained. One will achieve the fruit of the Soma sacrifice by singing one third of the Gita. And the result of bathing in the Ganges is achieved by chanting a sixth of it. One who unfailingly sings two of its chapters every day will surely attain residence in the abode of Lord Indra for one millennium. One who sings with devotion one chapter daily will be recognized as an associate of Lord Shiva, and he will attain residence in the abode of Lord Shiva for immeasurable time. A person who daily sings one half or only one quarter of a chapter will achieve residence in the abode of the sun for the time of 100 manus. A person who faithfully sings 10, 7, 5, 4, 3, 2 verses, one or only half a verse of the Gita, will attain residence on the moon for 10,000 years. One who, at the time of leaving the body, remembers half the Gita, a quarter of the Gita, one chapter or only one verse of the Gita, he reaches the supreme destination. By singing or hearing the purport of the Gita at the time of death, even a greatly sinful person qualifies for liberation. One who is touching the holy book of the Gita at the time of leaving the body will attain to Vaikuntha and joyfully reside in the association of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. One whose concentration is intent on just one chapter of the Gita will attain a human birth after death. Then, again studying the Gita, he achieves the ultimate liberation. One who utters the word Gita at the time of death attains his life's fulfillment. All actions performed along with the singing of the Gita become purified and successful. A person who sings the Gita during the performance of obsequial ceremonies satisfies his forefathers, who, being liberated from a hellish existence, ascend to heaven. Satisfied by the offerings accompanied by the singing of the Gita, the ancestors offer their descendant their blessings and ascend to the heavenly plane known as Pitriloka. A person who makes a gift of a book of the Gita with a yak-tail whisk achieves success in all his endeavors that day. One who makes a gift of a book of the Gita along with a presentation of gold to a learned brahmana never takes birth in the material world again. One who makes a gift of 100 copies of the Gita attains to the plane of the Absolute, wherefrom rebirth practically never occurs. By the potency of making a gift of the Gita, one attains residence in the abode of Lord Vishnu for 7 millenniums and joyfully associates with the Supreme Lord Vishnu. One who attentively hears the purport of the Gita and makes a gift of that book to a brahmana, he brings satisfaction to the Supreme Lord, who blesses him with the fulfillment of all his aspirations. A person who neither sings nor hears the nectarian Gita is like one who has nectar in his hand, yet leaves it aside to drink poison. When persons suffering in this world of death discover the wisdom of the Gita and drink the nectar of the Gita, they take refuge in devotion for the Supreme Lord and become truly happy. Many saintly kings, such as King Janaka and others, took shelter in the wisdom of the Gita, and becoming purified of all sins, achieved the supreme destination. Neither high nor low birth qualifies or disqualifies a faithful person in the singing of the Gita, since of all kinds of knowledge, the Gita is the embodiment of Brahman and equal to all. A person who, out of egoism and pride, blasphemes the Gita will have to reside in terrible hell up to the time of the universal annihilation. That foolish person who, deluded by egoism, disregards the purport of the Gita, must remain boiling in oil in the hell known as Kumbhipaka until the annihilation at the end of the millennium. One who makes much of speaking about the purport of the Gita, yet never properly hears about it, repeatedly takes birth as a hog. A person who obtains the book of Gita by theft is unsuccessful in all his endeavors, and even his attempt to sing the Gita will be in vain. One who, hearing the Gita, does not experience spiritual joy, his life is fruitless, like the labor of one deluded. To please the Supreme Lord, after hearing the Gita, one should offer gold, food, and silken cloth to a Vaishnava Brahmana. To satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, one must worship the speaker of the Gita with devotion, offering him cloth and many worshipful presentations. Suta Goswami said, "These eternal glories of the Gita are sung by the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna himself. One who sings the glories of the Gita on completion of singing the Gita can partake of the fruits of the Gita as mentioned herein. The attempt to sing the Gita is but fruitless labor for a person who neglects to conclude with singing the glories of the Gita. One who with heart's faith hears or sings the Gita, complete with the glories of the Gita, reaches the supreme destination. One who with faith hears this meaningful Gita, song divine, and hears in conclusion the glories of the Gita, shall reap the fruits of virtue in this world, and his life will be filled with joy." Thus is completed the glories of Sri Gita from the Sri Vaishnaviya Tantra Sara. Thus is completed Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the hidden treasure of the Sweet Absolute. May Sri Krishna mercifully accept this offering. Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.